Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, it is overtime on 106.7 The Fan and Odyssey app. Chris Nockey, Donald Hankerson with you till 9:05. Nats take over at that point in time. Playing the Fighting Ohtanis of Los Angeles tonight out in Anaheim. And that first pitch starts at 9:35. Our next guest really needs no introduction. Steve Buckhance has been around town forever and a day. High school guy, worked at Fox 5 forever before he took over on Wizards broadcasts. You know the voice. Everybody knows the voice. Everybody knows the face. Buck, thanks for joining me, man. Appreciate it.
Knock, I'd ask how you are, but I was with you yesterday, so there's no need for that.
Well, let's talk about that, because you and I spent a bunch of time together at Avenel yesterday at the Wells Fargo tournament. When I came in here to do a little prep for the show, and I know people who are listening to this are shocked that I actually prepped for the show.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, so... But I was watching the tail end of play today. Not only were those guys playing in the rain, I could not get over the number of people who were out there watching it.
I texted our friend Joe Yashiroff, who was my producer at Channel 5, and I said the exact same thing. I said, the guys that are out there playing are nuts. The people that are watching them are even crazier. I mean, I watched about an hour of that, and it was funny to listen to the announcers. One of them is our friend Steve Sands, who's from Bethesda.
Yep.
And everyone, to a man, kept saying, I can't believe the conditions that these guys are playing in. I mean, not only is it nasty, raw, and rainy, but it's the wind kicks up, and it's not supposed to be any better tomorrow. And I'm watching this, and I'm just thinking, you know, this can't be any fun. And I'm almost thinking at one point, you know, the last few holes, McIlroy's got to make, like, par at least to make the cut. And I'm thinking, this guy may miss a couple of shots on purpose here.
Yeah.
You know, so he doesn't have to come back tomorrow and Sunday. He's got plenty of cash on him.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he made the cut. But, I mean, watching these guys having to wipe their grips like they were in the caddies, and just it looked miserable. And I don't know how you shoot under par or even par in conditions like that. It's nuts.
Yeah, they're not giving each other putts either. And I'm thinking, as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, I would never play in those kinds of conditions.
Hell no.
Why would I even watch? Why would I even go there and be miserable? Just, even if you're under an umbrella, as you said, it's just raw as hell.
But, yeah. I mean, I guess the reason is that if you have tickets, you don't want to waste them.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought them, I guess you're going to go out there. You know, our tickets luckily didn't cost us anything, so we were happy to be. But yesterday was nice.
You didn't pay.
No, I didn't pay.
That was just
you
me.
Yeah, you're the one that got the preferred C-lot parking, and I got the. I had a better walk to Venus than I did the actual course. Thanks to our friend Brian Bishop for that.
Yeah, he hooked us for sure. All right, let's talk a little bit. I know you're watching the NBA game here, and what a difference an MVP makes for Philadelphia.
I don't know, you know, I'm sure Doc said something to him, but their defense is much more aggressive, much more physical. They're forcing Miami into taking not-so-great shots. And even when Miami's gotten good shots, they're not making many of them. They're really missing a lot of shots, and there's been a lot of turnovers. So they haven't been able to find a rhythm yet, and Philadelphia's got a lot to do with that. And like I say, Embiid makes a huge difference. Harden is Harden, and there's going to be a struggle this game for Miami.
Everybody's getting better shots with Embiid on the floor, too, because he takes so much attention away. Curious, when you watch a game, and I know you love the game, and I'm not trying to minimize that at all, Do you watch the game as much as you listen to the announcers? Because I know you really pay attention, and you've got pretty strong feelings about who you think is good and not conversely not so good. So what are you focusing in on?
I guess three things. I watch the game, so I'm watching the guys play and how they play. I'm watching the officials because, you know, I'm into that, and so many of those guys are really good friends of mine. And I text back and forth with Scott Foster during games when he's not working, obviously. That would be tough if he was working. And Josh Tiven and Zach Zarba, all these guys are really good friends, and that's fun. And like you said, I really scrutinize and listen to the announcers because I know how I call a game. I know how they call games. There, like you say, there are certain guys that I really like, certain guys that I don't care for. And I listen to the little innuendo and also the, I have these pet peeves. We talked about this yesterday. I would bet you that I could not find an announcer in the NBA, whether it's one of the 30 local teams or even the network guys, who could call a game without saying "knocks it down." Now you can. There are different ways to say a shot went in. You can say swish, bang, good, and there's a million different ways. But everybody says "knocks it down." I'm just that's the other one.
Yeah.
And when the ball's bouncing around on the rim, he gets the roll. That's another one. Shot clock to game clock. I used to just say there's a 5-second difference between the clocks.
Yeah.
People know what the clocks are.
Yeah.
But little things like that. And then the big one is obviously Big Fella. I mean, if I've heard Big Fella one time, I've heard it 1,000 times, and usually it's from the analysts, the color commentators. So that one drives me crazy, and I don't think I've ever said Big Fella in my career, but. Those kind of little things, nobody else, they don't bother anybody else, but they bother me, Knock.
Yeah, I get it. So, we were in the previous segment, we were talking about the fact that this will be the first World Series this year in a long time where there's no Joe Buck doing the games for Fox.
Yeah.
Some people would suggest that's a good thing.
I think he's great.
I like Buck. I think he's very entertaining and doesn't take himself all that seriously. So who's on, and I'm not just talking about NBA, I'm talking about in sports, because I know you're a fan. You and I have been to a bunch of different events, a bunch of different sports. Who is on the Steve Buckhantz Mount Rushmore for play-by-play work in any sport?
Wow, that's a tough one, because there's only four on Mount Rushmore,
yeah.
If I'm not, I thought I knew that. I don't know if I can pick four, but I can tell you who I think are great and who I think are probably and you could go way back to the Milo Hamilton days and the Skip Careys, and obviously Vin Scully's got to be, he's probably on that Mount Rushmore. I would say Al Michaels is on that Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
He's the best, and he's great at hockey too, but he's the best football announcer that I know of. I mean, and for a lot of reasons, he's just he's so well prepared. He knows the rules better than the officials do, and that's important because certain guys don't and certain guys do. Like Mike Breen knows the rules, and a lot of announcers, some of us don't really know all the rules like we should, and that's important when it comes to calling a game. But Al Michaels, I think, is the best at that. Jim Nantz is great, and he's great at everything he does. He's just so polished, whether
smooth.
It's golf or basketball, football, doesn't matter. He's great at that. If we're talking greatest of all time, I mean, it's, again, there's some other guys that, Bob Costas is really, really good at what he does. I used to love my favorite radio play-by-play announcer, who I listened to when I was first getting in the business in 1976, 77, was a guy who's passed on, but his name is Joe Tate, and he did the Cleveland Cavaliers on 3WE, WWE Cleveland, 1100,
yeah.
And you could hear it in 30, they used to say you could hear it in 38 states and half of Canada, and you could, and I used to tune in to listen to Joe Tate. I just loved his cadence and everything else, a little like Skip Carey, who I worked with down in Atlanta, but so those are guys. Ian Eagle is great. I think he's one of the best there is. Just, you know what I don't like, Knock? I don't like guys who are so enamored with their own voice that you can almost tell. I don't like that.
You got somebody in mind?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say. But yeah, there are guys like that, and I just don't like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I like a guy like Ian Eagle. He's not, I mean, he's a great broadcaster, but he's not worried about his voice. He's calling the game, and he's smart, and he's got a good sense of humor, and he knows how to call the game and when to be dramatic and when not to. Got a good way with words, and I don't like guys that come across like they think they know more than you do. Mm-hmm. And so I gravitate towards guys like him. And I think Al Michaels is that way, too. Even though he does know more than you do, he's just so
good at
calling a game. And, color commentators or people would say, expert and analysts, whatever. I don't know. There's so many of them. I mean, I enjoy listening to a lot of guys. And we're seeing guys coming into their own now, guys like Grant Hill, guys like Brendan Haywood.
Does that surprise
really
you?
Doing that.
Does that surprise you, Brendan Haywood? Because you spent some time with him with the Wizards.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I'll tell you why. I mean, a little bit it does because I didn't know that he could be this good. With his voice and calling a game. But he majored in communications at North Carolina, and when he was with the Wizards, those three guys, he and Caron Butler and Antoine Jameson, would come to the back of the plane where the media sits. When I say the media, me and Phil, our producers, our directors, and Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor. And they would come to the back and talk with us, chat us up. And I admired that because a lot of players, especially the young ones today, they're just thinking about themselves. They don't have any interest in, they're not smart enough to know to go pick somebody's brain that's 10 times wiser than they are at this age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those guys were, Caron and Antoine and Brendan, they were. And they come back and talk to us about different things, and we talk about games and stuff like that. And actually, and it's ironically, all three of them did some kind of broadcasting.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
In their careers after they finished playing. And Brendan has taken it to, I think, the highest level. So it doesn't surprise me that much, but I thought it was interesting that we had that interaction. And I didn't have that kind of interaction with, a lot of players, especially recently the younger ones. But I did have it with guys like Tracy Murray and Juwan Howard and Marcin Gortat and those guys. There's some guys you gravitate towards and they come to you, and then others you don't.
I wish I could tell you. I wish we could talk about an NBA championship that you called for the Wizards while you were doing the games. But you did. There were some stretches of amazing. There were some amazing stretches, and I'm thinking of a couple. First of all, anything related to the Jordan years, and I know folks, it's very popular to minimize Jordan's second stint. When he played here,
right?
I think also the Gilbert Arenas run, where there was just improbable game winner after game winner, and your dagger calls would go viral. If you look back at the 20 plus years that you did, what's the high point?
Good question. I think, and I've been asked this question before. I mean, I think my favorite moment, my favorite call, still was Game 5, the Wizards in Chicago, when Gilbert hit the that dagger over Kirk Heinrich.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a lot of reasons. One, it was a great shot. It won the game, and it happened at United Center in Chicago. And those fans know basketball, and they're rabid, and it's hostile. And to be able to silence them like he did was just such a gratifying feeling for everybody involved, including me and Phil. And I think after he made the shot, I yelled dagger, and then I said, Gilbert Arenas has just sucked the life out of this building, which is exactly what he did. I mean, you could feel it, and it was such a cool play. Any of Michael Jordan's, game-winning shots, he hit a few of them. were favorite moments for me. Yeah. And, you know, look, the Wall Beal era was fun too. But I think my most fun having doing games with Phil Chenier was during the Jordan times, because it was such a good group of guys. Doug Collins was our coach, okay? Patrick Ewing was an assistant. But Doug and I and Phil and some of those guys became pretty close. And we just had a great time traveling together. And then traveling with Michael was just such an experience. I've told people this before, but it literally, when you would go places, it was like traveling with the Beatles. I mean, he commanded such fanfare from folks everywhere in the country that it was phenomenal. And it was just a really cool experience to hang with him, to see what an actual living legend is like. You know, none of us really get close to somebody that's iconic.
Oh. Yeah.
Or could be construed as a living legend. But, you know, this guy is. I mean, you can recognize this guy from the back of his head. I mean, he's a living legend. And, you know, who gets close to Michael Jordan? Nobody. But because of what we did, we traveled with him. We were on golf courses with him. We were on elevators with him. We were in one-on-one situations with him. And we got to see how somebody like that lives. And I tell you, it's pretty wild, man, to see. It's pretty wild. I mean, I told the story once about the famous ducks at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis. You know, have you heard of the ducks?
Yeah.
So they're world famous, and they bring them in off the roof every day, and they in a procession, they lead them to this fountain that's inside the Peabody Hotel, if you've ever been to Memphis, a very famous place. So one of their managers came up to Michael's guy and said, you know what would be awesome? He said, if Michael got off the elevator with those ducks and led them in a procession to the fountain. And the guy said to the manager, he said, let me ask you a question. He says, you like your ducks? And the guy said, well, of course. He said, because if Michael Jordan gets off that elevator, he said, you're going to have a lot of dead ducks. He said, there are going to be people that are going to rush Michael Jordan, and they're going to just step all over those little peddlers. And so he didn't do it. Jimmy Carter was staying in the hotel at the time, and they got him to do it, which was awesome. Meantime, we come off the elevator to go to the game, and the bus is parked outside on the street, and the entire lobby, including a full block outside this hotel, was lined with people that wanted to get just a glimpse of Michael Jordan. Yeah. It was phenomenal. And that's the way it was everywhere we went.
You know, one of the things that kind of strikes me too, you know, a lot of guys, you know, you worry about seeing a guy in the last year of his career, you know, that he's never really the same that he was. You see a diminished product. And certainly Jordan wasn't what he was at 23, 24 years old. He played every game of the season, Buck. He played 82 games that year.
Yeah.
And in an era today of load management, nobody does that.
Nobody does that. Well, I think, I'm not going to say he wanted to prove a point, but I think he wanted to prove, if nothing else, to himself that he could still play. And listen, Knock, you know this as well as I do. You know, 60-70% of Michael Jordan is better than 90% of the guards that played in the league.
Yeah.
You know, at his age, which was what, 40, 39, 40?
40, yeah.
It was amazing. You marveled at what kind of an athlete he was. And yes, especially to anyone that lives in and or around the Chicago area, his time with the Wizards will be an asterisk. Okay, that's all it will be. But for the folks that were here, and of course for Abe Poland, who, you know, Michael probably made Abe $70 or $75 million in the 3 years he was here, it was quite a spectacle to see it. And look, for us, you know, it was just the coolest thing to just see him in a Wizards jersey. And you know, we spent training camp with him and got to know him and joke with him. You know, he was a ball buster, and we used to break balls with him right back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there'd be times where we'd get on the team plane after a game on the road, and his Gulfstream was right next to ours, and he'd get on his plane and fly back to Chicago if we had a day off, and then come back to Washington. So you know, you got to see how guys like this lived, and it was just. He would. We used to fly these charter planes. You know, they're 90% of the NBA flies on a Delta charter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful 757s. They call them 757 VIPs. They actually say that on the placard. And the entire inside of the plane is designed for first-class seating. Everybody has a first-class seat.
It's rock star travel. Yep.
Absolutely. It's probably, I'm going to say maybe, I don't know, 60 seats on a plane, something like that. And the players all sit up front, and they have these unbelievable seats that just about fully recline, and they are spaced like 6 feet apart. So there's, I mean, they can stretch out. The middle seating is for the coaches, and they have card table seating where they can face each other and watch tape and have meetings. And then the last, I'd say, nine rows are for the peasants, you know, the media. So that's where they stick us, and that's me and Phil and our producer, our director, our graphics guy, Dave and Glenn, the equipment managers, the athletic trainers, and we all sit in back there. And then eventually it became the social media people, who at first there was no social media, so there was none of them on the plane. Then, you know, Ted Leonsis had them all on the plane with us. So there was all those people. Well, back in the day, When we first started flying, we were on Abe Poland's private plane, which was a Boeing 737, original 737, that we flew out of BWI. Mm-hmm. But then when Michael came, he didn't want to do that anymore. We started flying the Delta charter out of Dulles, but at the time it was Northwest. This is before they merged with Delta.
Right.
So we would fly 727s, and they, if you remember, the 727s would have stairs in the back of the plane that would come down, and
right,
that's how we got on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So we would get on, and everybody would walk towards the front. Well, Michael, one time after we lost to Cleveland, in Cleveland, he was so mad because it was a bad loss, and he was just irate. This is before he was playing. He was, I think he was just the president of Ben. Well, you know what? He might have been playing. I gotta look that up. He gets on the back of the plane, and he looks up front, and he stops, and he says, I can't repeat some of the things he said, but he said, I'm not riding up there with those young blankety-blanks. I'm going to sit back here with the grown-ups. And for the rest of the season, he sat in the back with us. In fact, I have a picture of him in the back. Ironically enough, I took it, and it was he's sitting next to Kwame Brown.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, I have the picture. Someday I'll tweet it out. But and, you know, he wasn't real fond of Kwame. He drafted him. He and Doug drafted him, but they had some run-ins. But when we'd win, he'd sit in the back and smoke a cigar. Now, nobody's going to tell him, A, you know, it's like Red Auerbach at Woodmont Country Club, who used to smoke a cigar in the card room. They came in one day and said, Red, we need you to put the cigar out. And he kind of poo-pooed it and said, yeah, not a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael was the same way. Now, I will tell folks, this will be a little bit of an eye-opener for people that don't know anything about how teams travel and charters. But on a charter plane, at least the planes that are chartered by teams, there are no rules. You can do whatever you want. We would have people walking around on landing. When the team was taxiing, guys are up talking, going to the bathroom. There are no rules.
Right,
No one's going to tell you to sit down unless there's tremendous turbulence. And the food that they served on the plane was just outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was the Palm or Morton's or whoever catered it. So anyway, it was just funny that, you know, people don't know. You could take 6-8 bottles of water on with you, 8 bags. I mean, it didn't matter. There are no rules on a charter flight. And that's why Jordan could get away with smoking a cigar.
You didn't have to put your tray table up either, did you?
Are you kidding me, man? Once I got my, like, 4 or 5 pillows. I got them all snuggled in next to me. I had my video going. Nobody was going to tell me to take them away.
Couple of minutes with Steve Buckhantz. From a TV guy perspective, who do you think ESPN wants in the finals, NBA finals? I mean, who's the most telegenic? Who drives the ratings? Golden State, I would think, would have to be the Western Conference for ratings purposes.
I would agree with you, obviously, because of Steph and Clay and just their whole genre, that whole team. I think, you know, Phoenix has as good a shot as anybody if everybody's healthy and Chris Paul's playing the way he's playing. But they're not the draw that Golden State is for a national TV audience.
Yeah.
And, I hate to say that they could be rooting against Giannis, because Milwaukee's not a great draw either, even though they're a really good team and Giannis is a tremendous player. But they're not the draw that Miami or Philadelphia is right now.
Or Boston, probably.
Or Boston, absolutely. Yeah. Or Boston. So, and there's a lot of parity this year. I mean, it's kind of neat. I don't know if anybody's invincible playing the game right now. But so I would think that it would be Golden. They would want Golden State and probably, you know, either Boston or even Philly, or, you know, you can't go wrong with those teams, I think, if you're trying to get ratings and stuff like that.
Last question for you, Buck. Exit question. Your dagger call obviously lives on forever, and I had the pleasure of playing golf with you not long ago, and you put you drained a putt to win a hole, and you gave it the dagger call to a couple of my friends. And
I don't do that really all the time, Doc. I mean,
they loved it.
Playing, one of your buddies coaxed me into doing that. So.
No, I turned and pointed to you and said, "All right, say it, Buck."
So
was that organic? Did that just come about one day with a Wizards win, or was that something you had given some thought to?
No. I mean, that just came. It's not like a golf tournament. If you're Jim Nance and you're calling the Masters, and you know who is either about to win the tournament or even is going into the final round with a lead, you're thinking of things the night before you're going to say, okay? But it's different in a basketball game or maybe even a football game. Those things just come out. Like you say, they're just organic. I don't know why I thought about that. It's, you know what a better example is, was the no not possible call.
Yeah.
When Mo Pete hit the shot after Michael Ruffin threw it up in the air.
Yeah, threw it up in the air to basically kill the clock.
Exactly.
And now, Mo Pete playing for Toronto at the time, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back and look at the play, you know, you got a free throw, and I want to say there was 4.5 seconds left in the game, okay? Something like that. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm thinking, okay, 4.5 seconds. The free throw is they bring the ball in. Ruffin catches it. Now the clock starts. He throws it like 50 feet into the air. Mo P catches it, you know, flings it up and makes the shot. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not possible that he could have done that in 4.5 seconds. That's how it came out of my mouth. I just yelled, "No, not possible. Not possible that he makes that shot." And so those things are organic. And the dagger call was, there was a call I used to like to say when a guy would hit a shot, I'd say, "How do you like that?"
Yeah.
And I think I got that from my mother, who used to say it all the time. And that's how it came out of my mouth. But the dagger thing, just like you say, was organic. It was a spur of the moment thing. And I actually had a general manager, the late Sam Schroeder, at the time it might have been Home Team Sports. It could have been. I think it was Home Team Sports. And he called me and he said, "You know what? I don't think you should use the dagger anymore," because at the time I was sometimes using it even for the other team. And he'd say, "You know, it's too violent, and I just don't think you should use it."
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And at that time I was starting to get some recognition for that, especially from the sports junkies who used to use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always given them a lot of credit for helping with that. And I said to him, "Listen, you know what, Sam?" I said, "I understand what you're saying. I won't use it against the Wizards. I won't use it for the other team." I said, "But I'm starting to get some recognition for this. And when you have a brand or something that's sort of your trademark, you can't pay for something like that. That becomes a big deal." And he was smart enough to understand that. And he said, "Okay, you can keep saying it." And, so I did. And I do have it trademarked.
Yeah, you do have a trademark, and you're supposed to be paid whenever it's used, right?
You're damn right.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, if you say it a few times, I can probably file some sort of a grievance.
Yeah, not against me, against the station.
No,
I'll say it.
I wouldn't do that against you, personally. No.
Right.
And by the way,
yeah,
we could sit here and talk for hours about anything. I mean, I could talk about hockey. I'm no Joe Beninati, but I'm watching the hockey games and they're fabulous. I mean, isn't what a great sport that is in the playoffs
mm-hmm,
to watch?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And so I'm sitting here, I'm eating a chicken sandwich, okay? And I'm thinking about the wars between, you know, the debate between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, those are two different sandwiches. You know, you can't beat a Chick-fil-A sandwich, but that's a different kind of a sandwich than a Popeyes. I've yet to have the Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwich, which looks great. You know, that's where you have the Colonel Sanders guy who says, you know, chicken sandwiches shouldn't be under a tanning salon. You know, I love that guy, man. Yeah. I love that. I'm having one from Woo Boy Hot Chicken in Herndon. You ever had that?
No, I have not. But I believe there's one in Old Town, too, one in Alexandria as well. I got to try that.
Really?
Good.
I didn't know that. Woo Boy is a great chicken sandwich. Totally different than the Popeyes. Totally, obviously, totally different than Chick-fil-A.
Woo Boy.
So if you're from Maryland and you can stomach coming across that bridge, then you should probably come over here to Reston, Herndon area, and have the Woo Boy Hot Chicken Sandwich. It is phenomenal.
Before I let you go, Buck, Donald, just for the record, Buck not only does great restaurant reviews, does fantastic movie reviews. This guy is on it. So, Buck, give me one thing you watched recently that you thought, holy cow, that was good.
Well, you know me, Knock. I watch all the movies over and over and over again. I mean, I've seen Castaway 80 times. I can't stop watching it. It's got one of the best plane crash scenes in all of movies. And Tom Hanks he's phenomenal in every movie he's ever made, you know? He's incredible. Same thing with Leo DiCaprio. You know, I watch him all the time, whether it's The Aviator or whatever. And so I have a tendency, you know, Silence of the Lambs, you know.
The Departed, you know, I mean, The Departed, my favorite DiCaprio movie.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of his with me. I mean, he can play. It's amazing how he can play almost any part. And you know, Anthony Hopkins, you know, when he looks at her and says, "You use Evian skin cream, and sometimes you wear Laird de Ton, but not today." You know, I mean, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's like
when he said it to Agent Starling.
To Agent Starling. That's correct. And I'm a creature of habit, so I watch these movies over and over again. Lately, what I've been watching, and I haven't finished it yet, and I think I have like probably 7 or 8 more episodes to go, is Ozark on Netflix.
Finished it 2 nights ago.
Please don't tell me.
Oh, you won't believe. No, I'm just.
Don't kill it, man. And I'm going to watch some more after this game. I'm going to watch some more tonight. And I thought that with season 4 that I hadn't seen any of season 4, so I've just finished the first 8 episodes.
Oh, you got some catching up to do, my friend.
How many episodes are there in season 4?
I think they're 14 all told.
Okay, and,
So you got 6 in the second batch that
six
just came
more to
out.
Go. Yeah. Yep. Because I just finished the one where she blows away the nephew of Omar Navarro.
Yes. Okay, it gets better, man. You got some great stuff ahead. Enjoy that, man, and I appreciate the time here.
All right, Knock. Take care, buddy.
All right, Buck. See you. Steve Buckhantz, former Wizards guy. Everybody knows Buck from around town. I mean, obviously, he's been around here forever and a day. Those are some stories, Donald, and a great frame of reference. I didn't even get a chance to ask him. This is a guy who also did a lot of work with the Redskins back when they were the Redskins.
Right.
You know, he used to have the Joe Gibbs Show as a part of his Channel 5 package, and he does a great Jack Kent Cook impression. He's, you know, again, he's a guy who's well connected for sure. All right, we got some bills to pay, man. That went way, way long. Chris Nockey, Donald Hankerson with you. Overtime is the name of the show. Back in a few minutes.
Remain down by 3. Parker. No! It's not possible! But he did it! It is not possible, but he did it again!
My man, Steve Buckhantz, that is one of his seminal calls. That is fantastic. That in a horrific, heartbreaking Wizards defeat. At the hands of the Toronto Raptors, Mo Pete hitting a dagger 3 at the buzzer. And, you know, just to correct something that we were on a little earlier, Donald, when we had Jimmy Patsos on, we were talking about the Wizards' need for a point guard and the fact, do you go through the draft, do you go through, look for a free agent? And the fact of the matter is that when you look at draft boards, you almost have to think that your point guard solution is going to come from free agency. It was pointed out to me via direct message that there is a top 10 point guard on the board, and that's Ty Washington from Kentucky. Problem is that he is on virtually everybody's board. He's a top five, top six pick. So unless the Wizards get really lucky, and Jimmy made a point, you know, they are due to actually have a ping pong ball bounce their way. Unless they get lucky, they're going to have to find that point guard from other avenues. And, you know, he suggested a guy like Jalen Brunson, who's a free agent. And Brunson's one of those guys. That's why games like tonight are really interesting with Phoenix and Dallas, where Brunson in the first playoff series that where Dallas beat Utah, Brunson seemed to have made himself a boatload of cash in free agency because he was so good. But as good as he was then, he has been really nowhere to be found of late in the Phoenix series. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the price point is for a guy like that. If you look at comparative draft boards, NBA draft boards across, you know, really across the spectrum. I'm looking at three right now. There's a consensus on the top three picks. Holmgren from Gonzaga, number one. Paolo Banchero, who's, you know, had such a great year at Duke, number two. And Jabari Smith from Auburn, number three. From there, it gets interesting, you know, and there's some guys that could sneak up. You know, Johnny Davis, who was the Big Ten Player of the Year, is kind of all over the board. He's as high as 5 and as low as 12. One of those guys who might be available might slip to the Wizards at some point in time. In most cases here, everybody has the Wizards picking a non-point guard. Right now they're slotted a 9, 10, 11 spot. No way Washington is available for them then, and it's way too soon to pick Kennedy Chandler, who on most boards, the highest he's rated on most boards is 22. So, as I said, in most cases, you got to look to free agency. There are guys out there. There are proven guys out there. But you're going to have to get better. And I hate to disagree with Jimmy. Bradley Beal is not your answer, even playing limited minutes as a point guard. So, just a thought. By the way, Philly, up 5 on Miami. Miami's closed the gap. It was a 14-point Philly lead just a few minutes ago. Miami's come alive a little bit, largely on what they've done on the defensive side of things. Philly's still in control, playing in Philly, of course, must-win game for the Sixers. All right, let's take a break. We're going to wrap this up. Got one segment left before the Nets and the Angels. First pitch is 9:30. Pregame starts at 9:05. Donald Hankerson, Chris Nocke, the name of the show is Overtime on 106.7, the Fan and Odyssey app. Back in a few minutes. Chris Nocke, Donald Hankerson, wrapping things up this Friday night. Lame Friday night. Man, is it awful outside. You're listening to 106.7, the Fan and Odyssey app. The name of the show is Overtime. And Donald, you know, there are three or four things I can count on when I come in here. First of all, it seems like I'm always in here on a Friday night, right? I can't get a date, right? There's no chance. But it always seems like bad weather when I'm coming down here. Not a great situation. I mean, it was pouring when I parked. Sure, it's even worse out there right now. Also, the cologne, the Brian Mitchell cologne that wafts through this this studio. I mean, dude is impressive.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got some smell good on him.
So what I've determined here is if I see both of our names on the schedule, then mm-hmm. I can anticipate rain that day. That's pretty much what I'm gathering here. If I see us both working together, then I can anticipate the rain that day.
Well, you could certainly anticipate it tomorrow too, because the forecast is pretty ugly. So walk me through Donald's weekend, a rainy weekend. Is there something you're watching? Is there something you do? You got a hobby? You doing something inside that'll keep you busy?
Yeah, I definitely will be tapped into, you know, all the sports going on. I know Caps play tomorrow at 1:00, so I'll probably be locked in for that. Took a brutal loss yesterday, so I'm hoping they bounce back. Definitely will lock in for some of these playoff games going on as well, NBA playoff games. But also, too, I'm hoping maybe, I don't know if you're a Marvel fan or any Marvel fans out there.
Yeah,
the new Doctor Strange movie came out.
Well, Grant Paulson was telling me that he went and saw it yesterday.
Okay.
And he said he was pretty much the only guy in the theater. And he got the hall pass from his wife,
mm-hmm.
called her and said, you know, I mean, are you okay for a couple hours? Are you okay if I watch this movie? And I think it was after he'd bought the ticket. So, you know, he was being... But
right.
At any rate, he said it was good, but it's almost a little too nerdy. You know, the time travel thing, the time hop thing, rather.
Right.
And he said, you know, his whole thing is, you know, the one preview that they had shown was for the new Thor movie that's supposed to be coming up. And I've seen that trailer before. It looks fantastic. So So you're gonna go? That's on the agenda, or is that a possibility?
That's a possibility. It's not set in stone, but I'm hoping I can maybe get to a theater or something, especially to rainy, you know, weekend. That's like perfect to step to a movie theater.
Okay.
You know,
what's your top Marvel movie?
Ooh, top Marvel movie. Big Iron Man guy.
Yeah.
You know, probably Iron Man 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Is up there for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and those sort of broke the seal, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, and they're all sort of formulaic in the sense that you kind of know, I mean, with the exception of the one, you kind of know that good triumphs, right? At the end of the show.
Right.
Yeah. Who wins in the steel cage match, Iron Man or Thor?
I'd pay to see it. Yeah. I was going to say, that's a good question. I mean, if it's a straight steel cage match, if we're talking just strength, I have to go with Thor. Obviously, if you can, you know, have some gadgets and gizmos going on there too,
yeah.
I'm taking Tony Stark.
All right, so it was interesting talking to Buck Ants about his favorite broadcasters, right? The guys he likes to listen to, because I mean, he did it for so long, and I've had those conversations with him, and I knew he had some points, some things that he got tired of hearing, some cliches that the announcers throw out regularly. Is there somebody you like to listen to? Joe Beninati on the Caps is spectacular.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He and Locker just are fantastic. But is there, I just throwing that out there. Is there somebody that you like to listen to?
I mean, a lot of the guys that Buck mentioned, I like a lot. I'm a big NBA guy, so I love Mike Breen.
Yeah.
He's the go-to guy for me, you know, the bang call when you know, the shot goes down. I love
bang.
That. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Emphatic bang call.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I listening to Breen too, you know, there are times during the course of the regular season, you know, it's a long season. So occasionally they'll split up Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, right?
Right.
They're not nearly as good when they're not playing off each other, it seems like to me.
I agree.
And they have a relationship where they can bust each other's chops regularly, and nobody ever takes it personally.
Right.
And it's interesting. I also feel like Mark Jackson does a really good job, you know, considering the way he left Golden State, and that seems like a long time ago now. But he left them. He was a big part of them getting to be where they are right now.
I agree.
And he's incredibly magnanimous when he does Golden State games. And incredibly magnanimous and positive towards Steve Kerr, I think, you know, when he does Golden State games. And I don't think that's easy to be. I can tell this story now that he's not on, no longer on the air with us, Donald. Yesterday, I'm with Buck out at Avenel, and this guy comes walking up to us, short guy. I didn't even recognize him, glasses on. And he sticks out his hand to Buck and he says, Steve, Justin Kutcher, the guy who followed Steve doing the Wizards broadcast.
Right.
Now he's no longer there. But it was one of those really, it was a kind of a weird moment. They never met.
Wow.
And so I thought initially it'd be like a cat seeing himself in the mirror, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know? But it was great. It was a very, very fun conversation, and Justin's on to different things now. He wouldn't tell us exactly what he was going to end up doing, but I'm sure, you know, he's a talented guy. They both are, and Justin headed for greener pastures, one would think. Hope so. All right, listen, we appreciate all the folks who participated tonight. Patsos was great. He went on forever. Buck went on forever plus. Steve Buckhance did. Appreciate those guys coming in and illuminating us a little bit. Donald, appreciate your help as always, my man. Hopefully the next time I see you, the sun will be shining. And, you know,
yeah, let's hope so.
It won't be wet out there. All right. You've been listening to Overtime, 106.7 The Fan and Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.